Ryan Chakravarthy is a mechanical engineer turned data analyst who worked as a BA analyst, BI analyst, supply chain analyst for around 5 years. And after 5 years, he decided to make his next move. And when he started applying for jobs, he was able to crack 4 job offers in TD Bank, FedEx, Blue Cross Blue Shield, and Optum. If you're living in US, these are the big companies, and getting job offers from all these 4 companies at the same time is indeed an achievement. So we'll learn from Ryan's experience. We'll learn about how to become successful in our data analyst interviews. So there will be a lot of interview related tips that we are going to discuss, and we'll also learn about his journey from mechanical engineer to data analyst. We'll discuss that transition journey as well. So let's get started. So Ryan, thank you very much for spending time today for this conversation.
No, thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
Let's first talk about how you transitioned from mechanical engineer to data analyst role. And then we'll discuss about the 4 interviews that you cracked, and we'll discuss some of the tips so that it can help people in terms of being successful at the interviews. Okay, so let's first talk about mechanical engineer to data science transition really quickly.
So basically, I started when I came to US. I did my master's in industrial engineering. So. For people who don't know industrial engineering, it actually kind of aligns with the data science. So industrial engineer has like statistics, mathematics, business analytics, coding. So if you look at the picture of the data science, it's pretty much the same. It has statistics, statistics, business intelligence, business analytics, and coding. So since I did my master's in industrial engineering, so I had a fairly good idea of how to, in the data science department. And then my first internship was as a supply chain analyst, and that had a lot of the tools and the principles of a data science, of a data scientist actually. So trying to forecast using statistics, trying to understand the business aspect and converting that into the technical aspect. So in this way, from my internship itself, I actually transitioned from a mechanical engineer, since I did my courses in statistics, analytics, and coding. And that actually helped me to transition into the data science department. Obviously, also my internship helped me a lot.
Oh, I see. So if someone is doing a master's in industrial engineering, that person can get a job as a data analyst directly, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Because if you look at the LinkedIn jobs, the requirements for any data analyst or a data scientist, some of the key things are master's in computer science, absolutely. Then you have operation research. So one of the core courses in industrial engineer is operation research and digital and simulations. So absolutely, a person who gets exposed to industrial engineer definitely has a good chance of getting into data science or data analyst role.
Perfect. And you have worked in different roles, right? From business analyst to BI analyst, data analyst, supply chain analyst. So there are so many different roles that often confuses people. So can you tell me the difference between all these roles?
Yeah, absolutely. So if I start with supply chain analyst, that's what I was in my internship program. So supply chain analyst is actually understanding the supply chain of the or the supply from the it's basically on the inventory standpoint. So if you're working in a company which is an inventory related company or even manufacturing companies, you have the goods that are produced from one area and how should it reach the final destination, which is a consumer. So understanding the entire chain of the supply, that's what I was responsible for, to understand the how does the goods get procured and how much of our resources we should have in the inventory system so as we do never run out of stock. From there, so that is basically the umbrella of the supply chain. From there, I transitioned to a business analyst. Now, business analyst is very simple. It's basically just understanding what the business or the end users needs and then transitioning that business term into a technical term so that the technical team or the software team can understand how should I pull it from the system. So that is basically a business analyst.
Is it similar to BDM? Because in India, there are many service-based companies where they have business manager or business development manager. This sounds similar to that, correct?
Yes. So the business development manager prepares like the cases and the use cases of how what are the things that I need to transition it into the technical requirements. Tell the data team or the data engineer team to pull the data from the different tables. So yes, it is somewhat related to that. I mean, my responsibility was that to understand the business requirements as well as also to understand the tables or in the databases where I can myself pull it in case the data engineer is not available, or basically sometimes data engineer, they work too much on the technical side. I myself can just go ahead, pull the data, summarize it and present it. So that is basically the function of a business analyst.
Okay.
Now, the third is basically the business intelligence. Now, since I actually was interested in going also in the technical aspect of pulling the data from the different databases, what a business intelligence analyst does is he understands the business part, he understands the technical part, and then brings the technical aspect, converts it again into a business aspect in the form of reports, dashboards, or mostly reports, dashboards, graphs, telling the management team that, hey, you need to focus on this one, or hey, there might be a problem in the future. So you should focus on that part. So that is basically a business intelligence analyst. Now, the last one is a data analyst. Now, data analyst is more on the technical side. He also understands the data engineering part, preparing the pipelines, or at least understanding the pipelines, pulling the data from the different data sources, and then doing an ETL using the different tools, and then preparing the summary, or at least helping the designer or the business intelligence team in preparing the dashboards, maintaining the dashboards. Those are some of the things that a data analyst does. And absolutely, data analyst does a lot of this forecasting, user statistics. So those are all the things that a data analyst does.
So if I had to quickly summarize from left, I start with, business analyst. So business analyst, BI analyst, and data analyst, as you go from left to right, the involvement into technical knowledge basically gets higher and higher, right? Business analyst is a very less technical, BI analyst is a little bit technical, and data analyst is highly technical.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Great. So I'm glad that you got an opportunity to work in these three different roles, and you kind of have a very diverse background. And after you started your job, you worked as BI analyst, like different roles for, I guess, around 5 years. And then recently you started preparing for jobs and you got these 4 offers from TD Bank, FedEx, Blue Cross Blue Shield, Optum. Like, these are all the big known names in US, at least. If you are living in US, you might have heard about these companies because these are like known companies. And cracking interviews in these 4 companies is an achievement. So congratulations for that. Let's try to learn from your experience. So now you started applying. And by the way, I want to clarify to the viewers that Sian already had experience. He already had 4 to 5 years of experience. And then he wanted to move and he wanted to, join a new company. That's when he got this 4 offers. So let's discuss about your journey. So tell us how did you prepare? So we'll cover different sections. So we'll first start with resume tips and LinkedIn networking. So when you decided that I want to make my next move, how did you prepare resume? How did you apply? And how did you work on your networking?
Okay. So basically, definitely for applying for jobs or when making a transition, like you have said, the networking is one of the key important things to understand how the market is right now, which areas you should be focusing on. So if I start with a resume, first of all, I don't know whether many people has it. I mean, you can definitely go online and check the resume tips for data analysts, or if you're specifically focusing on certain roles such as data analyst, business intelligence analyst, you can check the resumes, the keywords that are used. But one of the thing that I used a lot is basically in Microsoft Word, you have a resume assistant. So all you have to do is, it has made the work of designing the resume so easy, is all you have to do is just type your role, the specific role that you're interested in, and the specific industry that you're interested in. It gives you some of the good resumes that it has stored in its system. And from there, you can actually pick up some of the keywords and actually mold it into your resume. So for example, if you are working I was working as a data analyst in insurance companies, you use some of the terms such as claims adjustments, insurance, et cetera. If you want to apply for the insurance companies. So that was one of the areas that I actually focused on. And definitely apart from that, I think so all people, even I think Dhaval would say that all the experts usually say that try to quantify the resume instead of writing huge sentences like I did that and I was part of those teams. Say that when you did something, what was the impact in terms of time, in terms of amount, or in terms of the savings, and in terms of the revenue generated. So that's the crucial part of the resume. The second thing is, once you have a basic resume, then try to see, or you see that which of the positions you are interested to work in, and also do a logical thinking as to, if you apply for those companies, will they give you an interview call or not? So what I mean to say is, let's assume that you are in an insurance company, but you want to apply in automobile. I'm not discouraging people from not to apply in automobile, but do you have any experience, whether you have a website, a project, anything that can you use it for the companies to give you a call? So in my case, since I had experience in insurance, and I thoroughly enjoyed working in the insurance and the healthcare sector, because I was working in the hospital sector, so I had experience in the healthcare domain completely. So I was applying more for the healthcare companies. So that's where, like, Optum, Blue Cross, Blue Shields are two of the biggest healthcare companies, insurance companies. So apply for those kind of positions. Now, the third thing is, see what your core expertise is. In my case, it was reporting, analytics, and forecasting. So that's why you see which of those companies are interested in these core skills. Definitely, once you go through the business, like your job requirements and the basic qualifications, it absolutely says that we are looking for people who has at least, I think so that's where they have a section of preferred qualification and qualifications. If they are, if you have these qualifications, then you're good. But look at the preferred qualifications. Once you have created that these are the companies that you want to work in and these are the qualifications that matches your profile, apply for those companies. Now, the third thing is a networking part. See, LinkedIn is one of the good places that you can see which of your colleagues or people whom you follow or your alumni are there in those companies. So, for example, I had contacts in like LinkedIn contacts in Optum, in Blue Cross Blue Shield. I just reach out to them. That's an art of cold email. You know, you have to reach out to, say, 50 or 60 people. Not everyone will respond, but you have to be persistent enough. Maybe 10% of those people may respond to you. Once they respond, make sure that once they respond, if they want your resume, you have the resume prepared and immediately send it to them. Because they wouldn't have time to follow through. You have to follow through them. So these are the three areas that actually helped me got the interview calls. And the fourth thing is, understand the market. What I mean to say of understanding the market is, usually there is a certain time frame when the job openings open. Like, usually it's the end of the fiscal year or the start of the new year. That's when a lot of job openings open up. Apply during that time frame, because there will be many people who will be, or sorry, many companies who will be posting the jobs. And the fifth thing is, usually in LinkedIn, see the jobs which has been posted for the last maybe 1 week at the most. If it's a big company, try to see the jobs which has been posted for the last 24 hours. I don't know. I think so there is an algorithm that sees that if you apply the jobs in like within like an hour or 2 hours after the job has been posted, your profile reaches the recruiter fast or initially. But I'm not pretty sure about that. But actually, I think so that actually helped me in FedEx at least.
I think I agree with you because you have the position, and if you apply early, you know, you have this early mover advantage for sure. And the thing you mentioned about the Microsoft, so Microsoft Office itself has a kind of provides you help in terms of building the resume.
Yes. So I think so it's a Microsoft Pro versions that has Microsoft Word has a resume assistant that you can use that for, you know, using the specific keywords for the specific companies, because as we know, for if you're applying online, you have the ATS system, I think so, that searches for the specific keywords, and if it's there, it pulls your data or it pulls your resume.
Got it. So people should use all these tips, make a solid resume. Also, based on the position, you can customize your resume. It's not like one resume you just keep on sending everywhere. You know, based on the position, always think from a recruiter standpoint, as Sian mentioned, that you need to think from other person, you know, the person who is reading your resume, and adjust your resume such that those keywords are highlighted, the things that they are looking for. So now let's say your resume is solid, you did solid networking on LinkedIn, you managed to get these calls. Let's discuss different rounds of interview that you have to go through. as a data analyst, and let's discuss some of the tips of cracking those rounds.
Absolutely. So basically, I can speak from my position overview as a data analyst or as a BI analyst. In these positions, obviously you need the technical sound or the technical knowledge, but also the communication part. So the first round, definitely you will have either a call from the HR person or the team manager. Sometimes the team manager gives you a call. They just wants to know what do you do, what is your current position, why do you want to transition? I mean, the simple basic questions. What are you looking for the job? Do you know about our company? And why are you looking for transition? So that will be your first round. Once you clear that round, the second round definitely will be the technical rounds. Now, for a data analyst or a business intelligence analyst, there is a lot of the questions would probably be more on the database side, because data analyst and a business intelligence analyst does a lot of data manipulations. So many questions related to database, or do you know what is a database, how to use a database, how to pull the data, how to summarize the data, that's the reporting side. So these will be the questions that will be in the second round of interview. Many of the companies also goes for third round. So the third round will be specific to that industry. So if it's a banking industry, do you understand the terms such as loans or defaults? If it's a credit related industry, so do you understand those? How do you calculate the percentage of defaults, et cetera, et cetera? That will be very specific to the industry. And then absolutely the fourth round will be your usual, what are your expectations? What are the benefits that you're looking for? What's your salary expectations and those things? So these are the four rounds that actually happens in a typical data analyst or a business intelligence role. So one of the things that at least I can say for these kind of roles, since it's also related to the communication aspect, be sure to emphasize on how effectively can you communicate to the non-technical people. Business users, the management team, they need to understand the business in a layman term, not in a technical term. So focus on that, of how you can convey those messages to the management team or the non-technical person.
I see. And yeah, there are tools, I think there are websites such as Interview Kickstarter, Interview.io, things like that. They even provide help in terms of mock interviews. So you pay some fees, they will be conducting your mock interviews. So I think people can get help of these websites. So I'm not promoting them. I don't get paid for this promotion, etc. But I feel that, the services that they offer, people who will be doing your mock interview are the people who are working in industry. So they will have a good understanding on the interview processes. And once you go through the mock interview experience, you'll be much better prepared for the actual interview. Do you have any thoughts around that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, definitely it's always useful to get expert tips from the experts, actually. There are many, apart from that, definitely I did use some of the websites, not exactly the interview, the website that you mentioned, but other things is, if you're lucky enough, you can actually discuss or have an interview session with your friends, so that your friends will not be able to give you the guidance, the technical part, but at least how you present yourself, your friends will be able to help you out. You are taking too long for giving this answer. Or you're taking too short, your answer is too vague, we cannot understand it. So that actually helped me a lot, because I remember I was practicing with some of my friends online like this, and I got the tips of how should I improve my presentation. So that actually helps a lot.
That's a very good point, actually, because if you have, let's say you are a fresher looking for a job, and if you have seniors who are already working in the industry, maybe you can ask them for a favor. Hey, can you conduct like half an hour mock interview for me? And it could be technical if they're ready, or if it's not technical, they can even check the soft skills, just mention your projects, how well you're mentioning the projects, how well you're explaining technical architecture and so on. So that's an amazing tip. So everyone who is watching, please practice on those tips. It will be definitely useful. Now, in your case, San, when you crack this for job offers, making a decision would be very hard, right? Like, how do you choose the right company to work for when you have multiple offers?
Yeah, so for different individuals, I'm pretty sure for different individuals, it's the different requirements. Some of them have a requirement on the salary part. Some of them have a requirement, look on the benefits part. Some of them sees a longer picture as to 10 years down the line, will I be happy with this company? Or 10 years down the line, will I be happy with this position? So this is purely on the individual aspect, but what actually helped me or the way I make a decision is definitely I try to see the longer or the broader picture. Like if I want to work in this company, what is the market of this company in the future? What is the market of my job in the future, my position in the future? So looking at these things helped me a lot in actually kind of deciding whether which of the companies or which company I would actually like to work in. And then apart from that, the internal functionality, the team members, the teams that you're working in, how much of a mobility is there in the teams. These are some of the things that helped me a lot. And at least for me, based on the experience, since I have like 5 years of experience, I gained this understanding as to where do I want to work in? How do I want to work in? What are the kind of teams I want to work in? What are the kind of positions that I want to work in?
So it's not just about money all the time. We need to think long-term, I guess, right?
Absolutely.
Yep. Now, you were a mechanical engineer. You are a successful data analyst, you know, cracking like four job interviews and having an awesome career. If there is a mechanical engineer who is willing to make a transition in data science, can you discuss some of the ways? Like one way is the route that you took, which is you did master's in industrial engineering. You took some courses which are having statistics and mathematics. And just by doing that, you can get a job as a supply chain analyst. And then once you have supply chain analyst, you can go business analyst, BI analyst, data analyst. You can make those transitions. So that is one way. The other way is, I guess, pursuing master's. I'm seeing many people who have, let's say, mechanical engineering degree or pretty much any non-technical degree. They would do master's in data science itself. And once you do that, making the transition becomes easier. Are there any other ways you can think about?
Yes, absolutely. So nowadays you have certifications from well-known institutions, like some of the big colleges, like let's assume like Stanford or Georgia Tech. They usually offer like a certification course. It might be a 6 months online certification course. That helps. That actually prepares your basic fundamentals because it trains your mind to look at the data science and like how does a data, like what are the expectations from a data scientist person. So certifications would be one of the ways that if you're not going to the master's route, because master's is a very expensive route. It's like 2 years of master's, $30,000 or $40,000 of payment, and many people cannot afford, and that's fine, absolutely. The other thing is definitely Dhaval, you have always promoted that, is to do projects. Do a lot of projects and promote your projects. So if you're new in the field of data science, you don't have any ideas, there's a lot of YouTube videos. Code Basics is one of the channels that definitely I use a lot to understand some of the core fundamentals. Go through those concepts. And one thing about Code Basics that I like is it presents the technical things or any of the concepts with a lot of examples. Because when you have examples, applying practical knowledge basically applying the theory knowledge in the practical sense, that actually kind of seals it in your mind. So go through the videos, understand the videos, and then create your profile. So what I mean to say a profile is a projects, and then promote those projects in LinkedIn or in any other professional website that you can think about, and keep on following the people. See, one other thing is I completely agree that when you are moving into the field of data science, you need to have the core fundamentals, the core technical knowledge. But data science, data analytics, business intelligence, there's a lot of communications that you have to do. So you have to be really good in reaching out to people, communicating to people. Many recruiters or many companies, they see that if the person has basic knowledge of the tools, let's say Python, Tableau, SQL, whatever that is, if you have a basic knowledge, and you have the willingness to learn, to explore, to find out new ideas, they will hire you. It's not that if someone has good technical knowledge, those are the only people that will be hired in companies. No, that's not exactly the case. I mean, I find it out. I'm not too much of a technical person, but I have the basic knowledge. And then I try to reach out to people, try to understand the problems. It's basically a problem solver. Data scientist is nothing but a problem solver person.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're in mechanical engineer, if you are in, let's say, civil engineer, anything, do this, go for certifications, try to understand the basic codes, or I would say the basic courses that you have either in through Code Basics or any other website that you can think about. There are many free online courses. Understand that, create your own profile, and then just reach out to people. That's it.
I have this Sales Insight project series, which I did in Tableau and Power BI both. I think Sayan, he was probably mentioning to those series. So we're going to provide a link of those series in a video description below. These are the videos designed for absolute beginners. You don't need to have any knowledge. So if you do these projects, you will understand Power BI or Tableau from a business, you know, from a business problem standpoint. So it's not like I'm teaching you how to do XYZ in Power BI. But really, we start with a problem statement. Here's the sales numbers, and we want to derive some insights out of it. How do you go and do it in Power BI or Tableau? So if you follow those project series, I think you will get gain sufficient knowledge. And the thing I want to add on certificates is that people do certificate. See, nowadays, especially after pandemic, there are many edutech companies that have emerged. So certificates are kind of losing value in a sense. So don't think that, okay, you spend this whatever few $1,000 in the certificate, you have the certificate and you will get a job. That's not the case. By doing certificate, you're gaining a knowledge. Some certificate requires you to pass certain exams. So if you have a knowledge, it proves that you have taken a effort to pass those exams. So it shows your effort. But whether you get successful in the interview or not, it really depends on how you perform during those, you know, few hours of interview rounds. So if you're trying to get certificates, please be careful. Don't go for super expensive certificates. I don't think they're that useful. And if you are trying to, don't try to get certificate just from any XYZ institute. There are so many edutech companies that have popped up in last 1 year. So just be a little careful. Some of these companies are charging a lot of money and they don't provide a quality education. So don't get into that a trap where they're just trying to make a money. If you're trying to get a certificate from, let's say, Google or Stanford, yes, these are like trustworthy resources. So you can definitely go for that. I'm a self-learner. I have no certificate. I don't spend any money on any paid courses. So if you're a self-learner, very motivated, you have a lot of YouTube channels, you have a lot of internet articles, you know, towards data science, so many blogs you can go through and you can learn those things yourself. All right, Sayan. So these were all the questions I had. Do you have any closing remarks?
Well, basically, I was just circling around of how can someone transition from the mechanical engineer to data science. And like Dhaval was mentioning, yeah, certificates, be careful in how do you want to select. I know that people might say that, okay, fine, if I'm a self-learner, I'll learn it. But what if I get stuck? So online right now, there are certain communities like Slack channels, I would say. There's a lot of Slack channels. Even right now, I use Slack channels a lot when I'm stuck in some of the areas like, say Python or Tableau. So try to search for those kind of Slack channels, like Python Slack channels, Tableau Slack channels. Those people can actually help you in that way. It will be a practice even for you and even for the person who is actually teaching. So I know working in a community or working in a group helps to solve the problems. And right now with this, all these online things, you cannot find it. But basically there are certain channels, there are certain groups, online groups that you can join that's free of cost, that will help you a lot for you to become a data scientist or a data analyst position.
I have a Discord server. Discord is similar to Slack. So the link of Discord server is in a video description below. There are 9,000 people. So many people are finding that Discord server useful. And there is a channel called Partner and Group Finder. So if you want to get a partner for a group study, you can find a partner from that channel. So check it out. There are others as well, as Sayan mentioned, on Slack and Discord. be part of those communities, and you'll be amazed. There are so many helpful people, you know, like the people want to help each other, and you can just grow within a community rather than just studying alone.
Yes, absolutely.
All right, great, Sven. So it was a great conversation. Is it okay if I put your LinkedIn description in the video description below, your LinkedIn profile?
Yeah, absolutely. Feel free to reach out to me.
All right. So anyone, if you have any question, you can reach out to Sven. Also, if you have any other question, please post in a comment below. Thank you.
Thank you.